It's Tuesday, the 17th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Alvin Hayes. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Fred Mutto in Hong Kong. And if you want to be like Fred Mutto and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. And big thanks to Fred for leaving a review and sponsoring today's podcast. Fred's been a very active listener and question asker throughout the last few weeks. So thank you to Fred for coming on board and being a sponsor of today's show. And of course, moneyball.com.au, which is Australia's daily fantasy sports site. So get involved there if you do live in Australia or if you're in New Zealand as well. Get involved in Moneyball. Take me on the Red Rock, in the Red Rock tournaments, the head-to-heads, the GPPs that are on there as well. There is a little bit of money out there that you guys can partake in and hopefully get some, or get your hands on in, on some of the occasion. As long as you're not taking it out of my hands, I'm more than happy for you to get your hands on some money on Moneyball. All right, we're here to talk about the games from Monday. To start off with, there were a lot of pretty interesting performances, a lot of questions that you guys have definitely got about some players. So, of course,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night had a couple of options here. I know fans of puns were probably hoping that it went to Brandon Knight, but instead I do go with Russell Westbrook. Look, Westbrook, we know that he's a fantastic player, and honestly, without Kevin Durant on his team, he is close to the second best player in the NBA. That probably feels blasphemous, but he is just a wrecking ball, basically, when Durant's not out there. He played another 39 minutes, 40 points, 5 threes, which is a career high for Westbrook, 4 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals, and just a super efficient 13 of 19 from the field. Now, 9 of 13 from the line is not ideal. 8 turnovers is also not fantastic, but you know that Westbrook is going to just have an absolute shitload of turnovers. That's just something that he's going to do. He's averaging over 5 per game this season. But the numbers he's putting up, they're breathtaking. 26.5 points, 2 threes, 7.7 rebounds, 10.6 assists, 2 steals. He's actually shooting 46% from the field. So that is, well, it's not enough to win you a league. It's definitely not enough not to lose you that category. He's just putting up some, look, just ridiculous numbers, to be honest. And I don't think that anyone can really deny that the sort of feat that Westbrook's putting up. There's only been 3 games this season where he hasn't had double-digit assists, and in those games he went 8-8-5. He's had 9 steals in the last 3 games. Multiple 3-pointers in the last 4 games. He's just putting up crazy numbers. And yes, when Durant comes back, his numbers will dip a little bit, but he's just an amazing guy to watch. He's one of my favorite. He probably is my favorite player in the NBA. I just love what he does when he's out there. I know a lot of people have issues with Russell Westbrook as a player, but he's superb to watch. He's just so aggressive. I don't even know. Dynamic, is that the right word? I like aggressive. He's just aggressive at everything. And I think if you're aggressive at things, it ends up paying off in the long term. And Westbrook put up another huge performance. The thing is, even in a daily fantasy setting, though, I don't even know if that's enough to justify the salary he was at. He definitely wasn't the best play of the day from a daily fantasy point of view, which we'll get to a little bit later. But if you spent the $11,500 on it, you're probably a little bit more satisfied than if you did it the day before when he struggled somewhat against Oklahoma City, against Boston. He plays for Oklahoma City Thunder. The waiver wire line of the night. Same game. Same guy as yesterday. Mario Chalmers played 23 minutes, scored 29 points, hit 4 threes, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Went 6 of 13 from the field. He went 13 of 15 from the line. So he is now 23 of 25 from the free throw line in his last 2 games. That is... It's ridiculous. Look, he can't continue to get to the line that often, can he? If he does, he's going to score an absolute, I don't want to say shitload again, but he's going to score so many points. It just doesn't feel realistic that he can go to the line 25 times in two games and hit them at such a high clip. And that's where a lot of his scoring's coming from. Yeah, he took 13 shots today in 23 minutes, and even that's pretty high. Six threes, not much else though. That's the thing. It's all predicated his value on his scoring at the moment. It's the six threes and the scoring and that huge free throw percentage. And it doesn't feel sustainable. You pretty much have to look at him in a lot of situations, but I don't think that he's a must-own player in 10-team leagues, definitely. And in 12-team leagues, yeah, you add him in. Look, you can add him in a 10-team league, stream him while it's hot, or while he's playing hot, but is he going to be this guy? I don't think he can possibly be this guy. If I've got an expendable player, then for sure, I'm grabbing him. But his minutes have only been 20, 18, and 23 in Memphis. They're probably not enough to sustain long-term value in those 10 and 12-team leagues. A lot of things have gone right for him to start off with, getting to the free throw line that often, the four steals in the first game, the six threes in the last two games. 45 points and six threes in two games is pretty incredible in the last two, with that massive free throw experience that Mario Chalmers put forward. I don't know how much it can continue. I don't know if it can continue, but for now, if there is an expendable... Look, I'm not dropping a good player to go and get him and thinking, yeah, this guy is going to be doing this the whole way. It's just not realistic that he's going to be scoring at this sort of level, which is like, I think it's double the scoring rate that he was having in Miami on a points per possession basis. He is just exploding. And Memphis, yeah, they're calling out for a scorer, no doubt. But he's not replacing Mike Conley. He's not going to play 35 minutes at shooting guard next to Mike Conley. He's going to play this 20 to 23 minute role a night, and he's going to be pretty good at it. And it's going to be for deep 12s and 14-team leagues when things are all said and done, I'm pretty sure. But that's the idea of having a streaming spot. Grab the guy while he's hot. Get rid of him when it eventually cools off. And if it doesn't cool off, which is probably a 5% chance of happening, then you've got him. And you go from there. So assess your team. Look at who you're potentially dropping. Feel free to tweet me a question or anyone, any of the other Basketball Monster guys, myself, Kyle McEwen, and the newly appointed Matt Smith, who's now joining Basketball Monster as well. So you can tweet one of us or any of your other favorite fantasy guys and see, look, should I drop this guy for Chalmers, this guy for Chalmers? Other people will have different opinions, but that's the way that I'm looking at Mario Chalmers at the moment. The young gun of the night. This guy's getting a lot of these awards. Jahlil Okafor of the Philadelphia 76ers. 19 points, 11 rebounds, a steal, an assist, 2 blocks, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 3 from the line, 4 turnovers. Just another massive game for Jahlil. 19.2 points this season, 7.5 rebounds, 1.8 blocks, 48 and 64 as his percentages. Turning over the ball a lot, but putting up some really, really impressive numbers in that punt free throw build. You'd want his field goal percentage to come up a little bit, which I'm sure it will once we get past Christmas and into the new year as he gets more comfortable. And that might see his scoring go up from 19 to 21 or something like that. And he starts grabbing a few more rebounds. I think he'll only get better. And he's a potential top 50 punt free throw guy. He's currently sitting at 84th in Basketball Monsters 9-cat ranks. So he is going to be starting to improve upon that. He's putting in some really nice numbers at the moment. And if you grabbed him in that sort of setup, you'd be really happy, I think, with what he's done so far. The field goal percent, free throw percentage, sorry, at 64. That's not that low, but when you're talking 4 attempts, it can be a little bit impactful as if you don't have the right guys around him. The dud of the night. Not ready to say that I was wrong on this guy yet, but Nikola Mirotic is really struggling. And there's a couple of things in my head with Nikola Mirotic. He played 17 minutes in a start. He got 6 points, which is actually one more than what Pau Gasol got. So let's not get too overexcited about the fact that he struggled, because Gasol struggled as well. He hit a 3, he had 6 rebounds, and not much else. He's been putrid the last couple of games, no doubt. He's averaging over his last 6, 6.7 points on 27% shooting. Now, he's not a great field goal percentage shooter, but he's better than a 27% shooter. What we do is, I know what's going on, but I also don't know what's going on, which is weird to say. He started off the season, his first 4 games, 19-9 with 3 threes, 18-9 with 4 threes, 2 steals and a block, 22-6 with 3 threes and 2 steals, 16-3 with 3 threes and 2 blocks. Like, they're 4 excellent games, like just really, really awesome. And then it went 5-2-4, a 20-10 against Philadelphia, 3-6. Which one is Nikola Mirotic? The numbers he was putting up at the start of the season were enough for me to go, yeah, no, that aggressive ranking that I had on him is pretty good, and I'm pretty happy with it. And then it's fallen off completely. I don't like the way that Fred Hoiberg runs the rotations. I don't like playing him and Pau Gasol together. He should be playing alongside Joakim Noah. I've maintained that for quite a while, that they should be the guys playing together, and they should be the guys that are starting. He's getting jerked around. He looks tentative. He looks afraid to make a mistake. He was just super confident to start the season, and it showed. He was like that throughout preseason as well. He was getting the big minutes. You know, he played 25, 30, 39, 29 in the first four games. Like, he was playing minutes. He was playing. You know, he was getting a lot of playing time. He was really productive, and he's dropped off. And it is worrying. I don't know. No, I do know. I'm not dropping him at this point. I want to see how it plays out for the rest of this month. If he continues on this string of single-digit scoring and then gets demoted to the bench and plays a 17-minute role, A, Hoiberg's doing it wrong, and secondly, then we can move on. But it's not like he's just been a complete disaster this season. He's had five stinkers, and he's had five really good games. The problem is that out of his last six, five of them have been stinkers. He started off the season absolutely red hot and then has gone ice cold. I think that it will turn around. He is a streaky sort of player, and I'm not dropping him at this point, but I understand the people who do get upset about us having him, you know, projected as high as we did. And I did make pains to say at the start of the season, yes, he's projected in a 9-cat format to be ranked. I think it was about 32 or 34, but by no means did I ever suggest to draft him at 34, because you just didn't need to draft him at that point. You just thought you could get him in the 50s or 60s and he would provide that sort of value if he got the minutes. And you know what? If he was getting the 30 minutes, I'm pretty confident that he's going to end up around that spot anyway. The problem is that the minutes are struggling with him at the moment. His confidence is definitely dipping. His per 36 numbers are still 16.8, 2.6 threes, 9 rebounds, 1.3 steals. He's shooting 83% from the line on 5 attempts per 36. Like, they're still really good numbers. He's just got to get his confidence back. He's got to get back onto the court for a bit more. And he's got to play in the right lineups. Yeah, him playing with Derrick Rose, Mark Roberts had a good stat today that he shared with me, that Mirotic's field goal percentage with Rose on the court is that much lower than when Rose is on the court. Mirotic's field goal percentage is lower. And when Rose is off the court, his field goal percentage rises. It doesn't rise a huge amount, but it doesn't sit at 35 or 36%, which is what it currently is. It will, it's up at like 42% or something along those lines. So Rose is an interesting guy who struggled a lot. His shot's not falling. He's doing ill-advised, you know, layups and drives. So he looked to look a lot better today, but he's been doing a lot of ill-advised shooting, and I think it throws the flow of the offense off a little bit as well. So I'm definitely holding Mirotić, and I just want to see exactly what happens. And I do have confidence in him that he can bounce back, assuming he starts to get his confidence back. But it's obviously a little bit of a worry for Nikola Mirotić at the moment. The daily fantasy value play of the day for Monday was Brandon Knight. He was awesome. He had his first career triple-double. He put up 70.5 FanDuel points at a salary of 69. Now, we look for guys to get that sort of that ratio, if you see on Basketball Monster, the ratio of 50. If you guys are getting a ratio of 50, that's a pretty good number. Brandon Knight returned a ratio of 100. Which is a fantastic ratio. If you get that ratio of 50 over your whole team, that means you're accumulating 300 points in FanDuel. There's 60,000 salary cap and 9 players. It gives you 300 points at a ratio of 50. That's where you want to be. He was at 100, so he was giving you just huge, huge value. So a big night from Brandon Knight, and he bounced back after a real stinker the day before and against the Lakers. Guards, big men, everyone generally tears it up against the Lakers. So hopefully you're able to get Brandon Knight into your daily fantasy lineup, because if you were, you got some pretty exciting results from him. All right, let's move into these games and talk about them in just a touch more detail now. Again, if you're watching this on video, you can see the box scores up on the screen. I've brought them up now. The first game of the night, it's the Dallas Mavericks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Mavericks welcome back a lot of their starters. Wes Matthews, Chandler Parsons, and Dirk Nowitzki all returned. And Chandler Parsons decided that today was the day that he was going to turn it on. He played 21 minutes, which is great for him. Yeah, up over that 15-minute mark. 21 minutes, he had 20 points. He went 8 of 11. He was just on fire. 5 rebounds, 1 3, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And this is why Chandler Parsons, like, he could potentially be a top 50 player this year. Once he gets back going, I would imagine by the end of this month, he should be right to go. It's obviously been a slow process with him, and if for some reason you do own him, I think you have to continue holding him. I can understand situations where if he's on the wire, you don't grab him because your team's either too strong or it's struggling too much to take on another liability. But the upside that he brings on a team that's not all that talented could be enormous. Dirk returned, went 23-5 with 3 threes, a good night for him, and Darren Williams, 12-3-6. He's just continually providing steady value, Darren Williams. Wes Matthews, after a really good game in his last one, he went back to struggle street. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a 3 on 2 of 10 shooting. Not a great night from Wes. And Zaza Pachulia had probably his worst night of the season. He attempted just 1 shot. Not great. Missed it. Had 2 points for the night, 6 rebounds, and a steal. I've still got a lot of faith in Zaza as being a really solid end of your bench, back-end 12-team league value player. Dwight Powell just keeps on keeping on, 7 and 8 in 26 minutes with 2 steals. It's not super exciting, but it's really, really solid. I want to see him. I want to see a Dwight Powell 32-minute game. I want to see what he's able to do in a bigger role. Not much else to talk about from the Mavericks' point of view, I don't think. JJ Barea played 13 minutes for 9 points. Devin Harris had 9 points with 4 steals in 23 minutes. But these guys like Harris and Barea and Ray Felton don't have much value when Parsons is playing 21 minutes and when Matthews is back playing. When Williams is playing, they're going to be reduced to a much smaller role. TJ McConnell looked good for the Sixers. 13-7-6, 2 steals, a block, and a 3, one of his best performances in the last week or so. He'd been dropping off a little bit. That's a good night from him. I thought Phil Pressey would cut into his minutes a little bit here. Didn't really happen. We didn't see Pressey at all. Basically, Isaiah Cannon got most of the backup point guard minutes. Jahlil Okafor, we talked about his big night. And Nerlens Noel, after a real stinker against the Spurs, went 12-12 with a steal and a block. His field goal percentage has not come up to the level we would have hoped, but his rebounds are right there, and he's still putting up some nice defensive numbers, and he will get better. Jeremy Grant, 13 points in 29 minutes. Not much else, but we did have the return of Bob Cove. Robert Covington played 20 minutes off the bench, 7-5, 2 assists and a steal. I'll reiterate it now. He's a must-own in every format, so if he is on your waiver wire, you need to own him. Nick Stauskas, this is another big pile of nothing from Stauskas. Yes, he got the start, but he played just 16 minutes. He went scoreless for the second consecutive game, 2 rebounds and an assist. Maybe he's just not a good player. Maybe it wasn't the Kings. He started off at Philadelphia really well. I thought he looked good. He was getting involved. He is just in a massive cold slump. They're not showing a huge amount of trust in him at the moment. They put him back into it to start this game, but then he didn't last all that long. I'm okay with dropping Stauskas in leagues at the moment. I think that you can probably get more value out of a streaming spot. People aren't going to be clamoring all over themselves to go and grab him, and he's just really, really struggling. He might burst out and become a good player, but maybe he's just not. Maybe he's just not a good player. Hollis Thompson had 12 points in 29 minutes. With 3 threes as well, but he is one of the least sexy fantasy players to own. The Boston Celtics and the Houston Rockets, another huge win for Boston. They are just flying. That is back-to-back wins on the road against Oklahoma City and the Houston Rockets. They started Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart in the backcourt again, and it worked wonders. Isaiah Thomas, 23-3-6, 4 threes and 2 steals, 9 of 12 from the field. He is just putting up superb numbers in only 24 minutes here. They destroyed the Rockets, so they didn't need to overextend a lot of their players. Avery Bradley had 21 in his 20 minutes, 4 threes, 2 assists, and a steal. A red-hot night from him. Jay Crowder got back on the steals train. 2 steals, 7 of 10 shooting, 16 points. He continues to be a must-own player for me. And Marcus Smart, 4-9-6 with 5 steals. The shot was just horrible, 1 of 11. But a couple of things really show me for Marcus Smart. I mentioned him yesterday extensively and saying how he's going to be an aggressive point guard rebounder, that 4.5 to 5 assist guy, 4.5 to 5 rebound, and a good steals guy. The fact that he got 5 steals here and 9 rebounds and 6 assists sort of reiterates my point of what he can really give you. And one of the more telling things I think about Marcus Smart to notice about the way he plays is that he relatively shut down Russell Westbrook yesterday. He didn't completely shut him down, but we saw what Westbrook did today, that Smart was able to actually get in his way and bother him enough where he wasn't able to play as well in a situation where Westbrook is just looking to take over at all turns. And Smart is a really good defender, and it's going to guarantee minutes, and he's going to be able to convert it into steals. He'll probably get threes. I really like him as a fantasy asset, assuming you can deal with the lack of points, which he will most likely get this season. Tyler Zeller re-entered the rotation. Thank you, Brad Stevens. Tyler Zeller played 14 minutes, 9 and 5. Kelly Olynyk, 23 minutes. I like that. 8-6 with a 111 for Olynyk. And I like the fact that Olynyk took 11 shots. Now, maybe Zeller was playing a little bit more because his game was out of control for in terms of the Rockets, so he was able to get some more minutes. We still saw Jared Sullinger play 25 and go 9-6. Amir Johnson only 22, 6-6 with 3 steals and a block. But let's hope that they just don't give minutes to Tyler Zeller. Please. He doesn't need minutes. He's not that good. Sullinger, Johnson, and Olynyk are the guys that need the minutes. David Lee with 5 minutes. I can totally get behind that rotational move. So thank you for that. Jonas Jerebko played 14 minutes for 6-2-2. So if you owned Jared Sullinger, you're clearly still holding him. He's still putting up numbers, even in those 25 minutes. Amir Johnson, if you picked him up, let's just see what happens. Six rebounds, 3 steals, and a block is still really valuable in only 22 minutes. Evan Turner, I mentioned yesterday, he can probably be dumped in most leagues with a 18-minute performance off the bench, especially with those other three guards, Thomas Bradley and Marcus Smart, playing as well as they are. The Rockets. Trevor Ariza, 19-9, 3 steals and a block and 4 threes. Every year, Trevor Ariza seems to start slow and get dropped or get bagged or get, you know, this guy's crap, he's a dud, let's get rid of him. That happens all the time. And he's not. He ends up being really good. So if you ever see, just watch your waiver wires in any league. Remember this. Write it down somewhere. Tattoo it on the inside of your wrist. Trevor Ariza will get dropped in someone's league and you need to add him. It's a pretty straightforward equation. James Harden played 30 minutes and I had MJ Advento send me a tweet today. I haven't replied to him, but I'm replying to you now. MJ, why did Harden play 29 minutes or 30 minutes? It's because the game was out of hand. He didn't need to play anymore. 16 points for Harden, 4 threes and 3 assists. Dwight Howard, 5-12 with a block. Not a great offensive night from Howard. Ty Lawson continues to be just garbage at this point. 7-2-5 with a steal. You probably can't drop him, but I hope you didn't invest a top 50 pick in Ty Lawson. Some people did, and I do really feel sorry for you if you did, because he's nowhere near that sort of level. If he continues on to this sort of level, he is not going to be a must-own player moving forward. Terrence Jones, 28 minutes, 15-8-4. And Marcus Thornton down to 12 minutes. While the Marcus Thornton ride was fun, it is done. We can move on from Marcus Thornton. He is a bench player. He played less minutes than Jason Terry in this one. So we can forget about Marcus Thornton at this stage. We might want to re-add him at some point, but the experiment, the ride was fun while it lasted, and it is done. Clint Capela, he always looks impressive. 5 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 18 minutes. It's hard to own him in 18 minutes. I just wish he was in a situation where he could get 27 minutes a night and then he'd be a must-own player. It is just really hard in those limited minutes. He's a streaming guy for rebounds and for blocks, and that's probably about it for Clint Capela at this point in his career. The Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls. Paul George, 26-7-5 with 4 threes. A good night from him. Monte Ellis, 24-6. With a steal and a block. George Hill was out of this one with an illness, and Rodney Stuckey was out with that foot or ankle problem. So we saw Monte Ellis basically playing as a point guard, and we expected him to have a big bump in his production, and he did. CJ Miles also took on an extra offensive responsibility, 19 points with 5 threes and a steal, and Chase Budinger got the start. He really struggled, just 4 rebounds in his 18 minutes. Joseph Young re-entered the rotation, 12 minutes only for Young though, 5 points. So they did go with Alice as the backup or as the point guard when Young is really the only other point guard on this roster with George Hill sitting out. We even saw an appearance from Solomon Hill, 13 minutes for him and 4 points. Jordan Hill played 27 minutes, one of the other Hills on this team. 5 points for Hill, Jordan, 12 rebounds and a block. He went 1 of 7 from the field, and we don't need to worry too much about Jordan Hill, nor do we need to worry too much about LaVoie Allen in most standard leagues. Deep leagues can pay attention to them, but Jan Mahinmi's the big guy you want to own. 28 minutes for Mahinmi, 12 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, missed both his free throws. He's a punt free throw option, but he's a nice guy that you can probably get on waivers in a couple of situations and get yourself 2 blocks and 9 rebounds. There's some value in him. Derrick Rose, sprained ankle, of course. Played 33 minutes. He actually looked better than he has for a while. 23 points, 2 threes, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 9 of 18 shooting. So a really good line from Derrick Rose, but the sprained ankle. Now, he says that it's a little bit sore, but he's going to be okay. We've got him marked as questionable for the Bulls' next game. So obviously, just hold your breath and make sure nothing too serious happens with Rose. It doesn't appear to be anything serious. So I know we all tend to overreact when Derrick Rose goes down, which is what I partially did just then. But it looks like it's just a minor sprained ankle, and he should be okay moving forward. Jimmy Butler, 17-3-4 with 2 steals and a block. If you own Jimmy Butler, have you been disappointed or are you pretty happy with his output? I can't really get a gauge on it. I think he's been okay, but I think a lot of people drafted him at the end of the first round. And are you happy with that pick? Or would have preferred someone else at that spot? So if you did draft Jimmy Butler, I want to know, are you happy with drafting him? Are you happy with that pick so far? Because it's hard to get a gauge on really what's happening with him. I talked about Mirotić before. Taj Gibson got a lot of minutes down the stretch here. 31 minutes, 9 and 11, 5 assists, 4 blocks. A really good night from Taj Gibson. But what does it mean? Does it mean anything? I don't know. I'm a little bit worried for the Bulls in terms of their coaching. Thibodeau had his issues last year. Hoiberg seems to be having a few issues of his own this year. Taj Gibson's playing 22 minutes a game, but he's just not providing enough where I want to go and look at him in 12-team leagues or even 14-team leagues. 6.8 points, 5 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, a bad free throw percentage, a nice field goal percentage. And yes, he played well here in 31 minutes, but that's probably going to be the exception rather than the rule. Hoiberg made a change and put Tony Snell back into the starting lineup. You know how anti-Tony Snell I am. 29 minutes for Snell, 6-3-2, a steal, a block, 2 threes. Do not add Tony Snell unless you're in a deep league. Doug McDermott still had 11 points in 17 minutes, but if he was owned in any 12-team leagues or possibly even 14-team leagues, the value there dries up. And Hoiberg went full retard. Kirk Heinrich played 13 minutes, 9 points, 2 steals. Why is Kirk Heinrich playing 13 minutes in a game that the Bulls actually won by 1 point? Aaron Brooks did not get off the bench in this one. I can't have Kirk Heinrich playing minutes in today's NBA. It is bizarre to me. And even if Derrick Rose goes down, Kirk Heinrich has zero fantasy value. It is a baffling decision to me, the way that Hoiberg is running this rotation. Yes, he's got to get used to things, but he's getting used to it wrong. Enes Kanter was super efficient. 17 minutes for the next game, Oklahoma City and Memphis. Enes Kanter, 16 points and 7 rebounds in just 17 minutes. And again, Billy Donovan. Enes Kanter's not getting more minutes. You lied. He's getting less minutes. Oh, we're going to see more Enes Kanter. He's going to get more run. He's going to put up, play more minutes. No, he's not. He's playing less minutes. So thank you to just lying to everyone's faces. It is really, really appreciated. But you still love 16 and 7 from Enes Kanter. You love 5 of 6 from the field. You love 6 of 6 from the free throw line. But those minutes are just a real pain. And can he be that efficient all the time? Probably not. It's probably not something he's going to be able to do. And his position in standard leagues is becoming tenuous. Serge Ibaka, 18 and 9, 2 threes and 3 blocks. That's a really nice night. And Steven Adams had one of his better offensive performances. He went 4 of 5 from the field for 14 points. He went 6 of 8 from the line, had 7 rebounds, had a block. Overall, a pretty good night. Same with Dion Waiters, who had 38 minutes off the bench, 14 and 7. The Thunder were without Kevin Durant, obviously. They were without Andre Robertson. So Kyle Singler and Anthony Morrow got the start. They combined to play just over 40 minutes, 12 minutes for Singler, 29 minutes for Morrow, and they combined for 2 points. So the Thunder going back to their standard of having two zeros in their offensive or in their starting lineup, and that is Morrow and Singler. Normally it's Robertson who's contributing that zero, and Steven Adams stepped up a little bit here. We saw a little bit of Cameron Payne as well, and I'm excited for him to get. I want to see just one full game of Cameron Payne to see what he can do, because I'm really excited for his fantasy potential. The Grizzlies, Mike Conley, 22, 4, and 9, 2 steals, 4 threes. He's been really good. After a really slow start, people were panicking a bit on Mike Conley. I hope you were able to buy low, because he's starting to put up some really big numbers. He's probably, a lot of his fantasy value is tied to his steals, and they're still not coming back up, but he's putting up some nice scoring numbers. There's been some flat moments for him, definitely, but the last week he's averaging 8.5 assists in his last 4 games. He's at almost 2 steals, and he's at over 2 threes a game. The percentages are not great, 39% on the season. You'd expect that to come up, but he's looking a lot better of late. Talked about the big game for Mario Chalmers. Jeff Green stayed in the starting lineup, 20 minutes for him, 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. What do we do with Jeff Green? Do we add him? Who do you add first, Green or Chalmers? I'm inclined to think Green, just because 34 minutes versus 23 minutes, it's a big difference. And if he's going to continue to get those bigger minutes, it's something a little bit more reliable than Mario Chalmers playing spot minutes as a backup point guard off the bench. Neither one of them has super high ceiling, though, in my opinion. And I've talked about Green. Yeah, he can score. He doesn't do a massive amount else. He was pretty good here across the board. And he's going to have some big nights, but he's going to have some stinkers as well. I think you probably want to look at to add Jeff Green, though. It always depends on who you're going to drop, but I think there's some value in him. Marc Gasol went 17, 6, and 6. an interesting note about Marc Gasol on the latest Dunked On podcast with Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, which if you're not listening to it, it is a fantastic podcast. Obviously not fantasy related, but there's a lot. There's a lot of info in those podcasts in the Nate with Nate and Danny talking. They were talking about Marc Gasol, and from what Nate was saying on Gasol and what watching him is, you know, that Gasol looks like he's lost it. He's lost a step defensively, and it doesn't really translate much to his fantasy value. Well, it does a little bit. That he's just not as in position defensively. He's not as good defensively. He's not rebounding the ball. He's not getting up to challenge shots. He just looks like he's just like a step slow, and that's interesting. The guy's 30. So maybe there is a decline coming with Marc Gasol, and we might be starting to see that. Look, he's been pretty good lately, but yeah, maybe that cold start to the season is not that much of an aberration. Zach Randolph went 12-10 in a pretty typical Zach Randolph line, 12-10 and nothing else. Courtney Lee, 17 minutes. Matt Barnes, 12 minutes. Tony Allen, 27 minutes. Now, with Mario Chalmers as hot as he was, Lee and Barnes are going to be limited. You can't really own Lee and Barnes in 12-team leagues at this point, with Green and Chalmers clearly getting preference to both of those guys. The next game up on the slate is the Portland Trailblazers and the San Antonio Spurs. Pretty easy victory for the Spurs in the end. Damian Lillard, 27-7-6 with a 1-1. CJ McCollum, 15-3-2. And CJ McCollum's a guy who started the season red hot. He definitely hasn't faded. Well, maybe not definitely. Maybe he has faded. He has faded a little bit. But he's still pretty good. He's still putting up some pretty nice numbers, but he's not contributing in enough areas, really. Points are great. 20 points through threes is great. 3.8 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 0.7 steals, 44%. He's putting up some pretty nice numbers. And you know, he's close to a top 50 player, but he was like a top 20 player. So maybe he's sort of starting to come back to the pack as defenses are starting to adjust to him. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I think that a 15 or maybe not a 15, maybe a 17 point scorer is probably where he ends up the season and just sort of drops back that couple of steps and has that still great value, but probably not as good as what he had in that first week of the season. Al-Farouq Aminu, 17-4 with 3 threes, a good night from him. And Mason Plumlee went 8-5 with 2 steals. A pretty decent night for him. And the fact that he hit both his free throws is probably a bit of a bonus. The problem in Portland, from a fantasy point of view, is the power forward spot with Myers Leonard out. Chris Kaman started the first game. Fine, out of nowhere. Kaman hadn't played all season. Oh, let's start him. Cool, thanks, Terry. Good move. Next game, no. Kaman, you're out. Noah Vonleh's in. And this is, mind you, before both of those games, Ed Davis was listed at the starter for both of them. Nah, we're going to change that last minute. Both games, different guys. Cool. Noah Vonleh's in. Whatever. He went 9-6 against the Hornets. Pretty decent night from Vonleh. All good. Not worth much value there. Okay, so you think, okay, maybe they're going with Vonleh moving forward. That's fine. Kaman was out of the rotation. He played one game. Didn't really work. All good. No. Let's go back to Chris Kaman as a power forward. And if anyone's watched Chris Kaman play, he's not a power forward. There's a reason he wasn't playing the start of the season, and it's because he's not good. The fact that Terry Stotts doesn't want to play Ed Davis next to Mason Plumlee, which is fine, but will play Chris Kaman next to Mason Plumlee, is confusing to me. It's very confusing. What it appears is that that Stotts and the Blazers, on a night when they play against two traditional sort of big men, Kaman will play next to Plumlee. As unpalatable as that is, that's what it will appear will happen. Kaman will play and start. On nights when they go against a less traditional four, a smaller four, Vonleh will get the start. And there's no reason for any of us to get excited about that for fantasy. No Vonleh, no Harkless, no Crabb, no Henderson, no Davis, no Kaman. None of them are worth looking at in standard leagues. If you can guess what's going to happen in the rotation, congratulations. Go do something better with your time if you've got that much predictive powers and you've that ability to read a crystal ball. But at this point, it's just all a mess with those other four positions outside of Lillard, Plumlee, Aminu, and McCollum. Onto the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard got off his deathbed, played 31 minutes, 19-9, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 threes. He's pretty awesome. Manu Ginobili, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. I'm telling you, he's having a really good season. He should be owned in 12-team leagues. And he is just someone who just has a real stigma about owning him. You can't own Manu. And I feel that's my voice when I think of someone who I disagree with. You can't own Manu. You can't own him. He doesn't play enough minutes. that's fine. He's not needing minutes. He's getting numbers in 22 minutes. And yes, he's going to sit games. And yes, he's going to get injured, all that sort of stuff. But he's missed one game so far this season, and he's been really good, and he's not slowing down, and he's putting up great numbers. And at some point, you just got to ignore the name, and you got to look at the numbers and go, I'll add this. I'll deal with it for 3 weeks, and I'll see what happens after that. Tim Duncan, 10-9 with 3 blocks in 29 minutes. And Danny Green, 29 minutes for Danny Green, 12 points, 2 threes, and he hit 5 of 10 shots. That is a massive, massive change for Green. Not much else in the other stats. Still had a block, but it's light. It's light at the end of the tunnel. Danny Green's back. He's coming back. Please make sure Danny Green is owned in your league. Please. LaMarcus Aldridge, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 1 block. Struggling. He's put up some decent games, but I think a lot of you will be surprised to know that in 9 cat leagues, LaMarcus Aldridge is currently ranked 92nd on Basketball Monster. It's not good. 15 points, 9.5 rebounds, and in a vacuum, 15 points and 9.5 rebounds, it's okay. But you know what 15 points is in a 12-team league? It's average. It is right on average. It is not good. It is average. And then he gives you nothing. 0.2 steals, 0.8 blocks, 44% from the field. The 86% from the free throw line is pretty good. 2 turnovers a game is average as well. Hopefully you didn't take him in the second round. Hopefully you didn't take him in the third round. He was a guy that I had about 40th or 50th, I think, in my ranks preseason, and he's not even meeting that sort of level. He will get better. He will get more accustomed to things. But if I was to say, is he going to be this guy, that what he's currently averaging, or is he going to be Portland guy, he's this guy. This is more likely what he is. Now, he's probably not likely to be this going forward, but he's also well clear of being a 23-10 guy that he was in Portland last season. He also hasn't hit a three-pointer this season, when last year he was averaging half a game, so that's taking a little bit of an edge off his value as well. Just, it's a real struggle for LaMarcus Aldridge at the moment to get really acclimatized and get himself comfortable. It'll come, but it won't come to the same level that we're used to seeing from him throughout his All-Star run in Portland. The last game of the night, Roy Hibbert played with a broken nose, mask on, 14-7, 3 assists, a really good night from Hibbert, 31 minutes. He's looking really good as of late, and he obviously has to be owned everywhere. 33 minutes for Jordan Clarkson, 20 points, not much else, but a really good night. And he's a guy, we recently adjusted his projections on Basketball Monster. He's a really good field goal percentage guy for a point guard, another 50% night for him today. And we saw D'Angelo Russell with a pretty decent night, 13-4-2, a triple one, and he played 27 minutes, so that's encouraging. And he played 27 minutes, Lou Williams played 22 minutes, Nick Young played 25. So Russell got a bulk of the minutes, but Kobe Bryant was out. So remember that Kobe's going to come back and Russell's going to be reduced. Yeah, Williams isn't going to be reduced much down by 21. Nick Young will drop down from 25. So just don't get overly excited about a decent performance from D'Angelo Russell. Marcelo Huertas played 14 minutes, 7-3-2. He can obviously be left on the waiver wire. And Julius Randle, he had a bit of a stinker, 6-5 in his 25 minutes. And I've said this plenty of times as well. This is just going to be who he is. He is just going to be this guy this season. He's currently ranked in 9 cat, 176th, 10.5 points, 8 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.5 blocks, 41-60 is his percentages. He's going to be a points and rebounds guy, and he's not even an above average points guy. He's actually hurting you in the points category. So at the moment, he's giving you a positive contribution in rebounds, and that is literally all. So if you don't want to own Julius Randle, fine. There's no obligation to owning him at this point. He's only playing 29 minutes a game as well. He's not getting 32 or 33. He's putting some extra numbers. He's got to put some extra numbers up to be relevant. Now, Christos Paraskevas just tweeted in, maybe with the extra mouth to feed with Aldridge, Danny Green isn't going to be what he was. Christos, there's some validity to that. We'll go back to Danny Green now, but I don't know how true it is, to be honest, because Green doesn't rely on a massive volume of shots. That's not his fantasy game. He's averaging this season 7.9 field goal attempts per game. Last year, he was at 9.1. So it's a difference of 1.2 shots a game. 1.2 shots a game when you're shooting 40%, what is it? 1 point a game. It's not a massive difference. It's not equivalent to the drop off in what he's doing. The biggest issue with it, Christos, and everyone else listening, is that he's shooting 10% worse from the field. He's shooting 13% worse from three. Both of those come back up to last season's numbers, and he gets those steals and blocks happening, then he's fine. I'm not worried about the drop of one shot a game. That's not a concern. If that comes back up and he averages 10 points, his value is from hitting two threes a game and from getting a steal a game, from getting a block a game and four rebounds and two assists and decent free throw percentage. His shot is just way off. So on the surface, you might think, yeah, Aldridge is taking away his shots, but it's one shot a game. I don't really think that's too much of a concern. You could make an argument that having another offensively skilled player there and Kawhi Leonard taking another step offensively, that things should open up more for Danny Green and he should be able to have better shots and shoot a better percentage. It has definitely not worked out that way so far, and Aldridge is not spacing the floor probably as well as what he would hope to, but he's a better floor spacer than what Tiago Splitter was. So you'd think that at some point that the percentages are going to rise for Danny Green because his minutes aren't falling off. His shot attempts are marginally less. And even over the last week, he's taking 8.3 attempts per game. So we're talking 0.8 shots per game less. It's not a big enough difference for me to think this is a season-long issue because of the presence of LaMarcus Aldridge. Just something to think about as well. Meta World Peace got the start in place of Kobe. 21 minutes for him, 12 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds. It looks like that's going to be what happens. Kobe's out, World Peace starts, and you can maybe stream him in those cases for one game, and you might get some threes, you might get some steals, you might not, but you might. And I really like the fact that Larry Nance is getting minutes. He did nothing with him, 23 minutes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Not a great night from Nance, but I like the fact that he's getting them. Brandon Knight, 41 minutes. 30 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists, 4 steals, 3 threes, great percentages. He's been great this year. Hopefully you took a risk on him in your drafts because there was a little bit of a worry because he did struggle in Phoenix last season, definitely after coming across, but that hasn't been the case this year at all. Eric Bledsoe took a bit of a backseat here, 21 points, 3 assists, 2 steals and 2 threes, but that's still an excellent performance. And TJ Warren chipped in with 19 points in 24 bench minutes. Markieff Morris was out again, so that meant John Lua got the start, and thankfully Mirza Teletovic played more minutes. 27 minutes for Teletovic, 11 and 4 with 3 threes, a steal and a block. He's a deeper league 14 team guy until Markieff comes back. That's about it from him. Tyson Chandler, what is going on? 0 points for Tyson Chandler. 9 rebounds and 2 blocks. They're still helping there, but 0 points? Come on. Alex Len got more minutes than Chandler tonight, 10 and 6 with 3 blocks. I know they paid a big contract for Chandler, but at some point, does Len take over? Chime in. Let me know what you think. Do you think that Len could potentially take over from Tyson Chandler? I'm going to lean no, but I really do like Alex Len. PJ Tucker, 11 and 7 in 24 minutes. Yeah, that's okay. And if for some reason you held on to him, you'd be happy with that, but hopefully you didn't. I really like Archie Goodwin getting minutes here. 25 minutes for Goodwin, 12 and 6 with a steal. Not much to write home about, but I think that he's a pretty decent player, so he's worth paying attention to, and maybe he could be getting in the mix for some of PJ Tucker's minutes. Maybe it's not all going to TJ Warren, so keep an eye on Archie Goodwin. Yes, he got those minutes because Ronnie Price was out with a concussion, but hopefully common sense can prevail, and we go, you know what? Ronnie Price doesn't need to get minutes. Sonny Weems doesn't need to get minutes. Let's go with Devin Booker. Let's go with Archie Goodwin, because if anyone's going to be the future of this team, it is sure as hell not going to be Ronnie Price. So Archie Goodwin's playing well in these minutes. Let's just hope that that is a consistent trend moving forward. All right, that brings us to the end of covering Monday's games. Time for a short break, and I'll be back with the daily fantasy action for Tuesday. I saw you. Back. Thank you again to Bryce Whitney, and also thank you to Stephen Van Manen, whose band provides the closing track for the song as well as the guys from the opening track as well, which is Sex Karate, who provide the opening song for the podcast. All you guys do a fantastic job, and it's great to have listeners who are able to contribute to the show and put up some great music. And I hope you guys are actually digging the music. And if you've had a chance, go and support these guys' music. Download their music, buy their songs, whatever. They've been really, really, really awesome. I love having them on the show. And they're becoming songs that are definitely sticking in my head when I listen to them. All right, 7 games for Tuesday. Let's start with Milwaukee and Washington. Brad Beal, he's questionable with that shoulder. Even if he was healthy, I wouldn't be playing him in DFS at 7,300. I don't think that's really a price point that I want to get into him with there. He's been really good this season, but I'm not really sure that... just had a message come through from MCPE Beast Mode. Hello. Hello, Mr. Beast Mode. Thank you for watching. He is watching live on YouTube, so hello, Mr. Beast Mode. Yeah, Bradley Beal, 7,300. Even if he doesn't play, I don't really think that we're going to be jumping all over Gary Neal, who's only, you know, in the last game put up 11 points. You know, Garrett Temple would be the guy that I would look to. He put up 26.6 at minimum salary. So if Beal is out, Temple will be the guy that we have a look at. It's one of those situations, again, where he goes from no minutes to playing big minutes when Beal is out. So look at Garrett Temple if Beal happens to be out. I think the best value play overall in this game is Jared Bayless. Now, if OJ Mayo happens to make his debut for the season, which is possible, it's being rumored that we might finally see OJ Mayo on the court, maybe Bayless takes a hit, but he's been averaging just huge numbers this season. He's been averaging 31 minutes a game. He put up 26 points in the last one. He's averaging 26.7 fantasy points in his last five. He's priced at only 4,300. He is going to get minutes off the bench, backing up both the one and the two. I really like him at that low salary. Chris Humphries on the Wizards at 4,000. He was awesome in the last game. He is averaging over 20 in his last five. I think that he's worth chucking out there in some lineups as well. And I really like Chris Middleton at 5,700. He's very very unassuming as a player. 24.6 in his last five. He did have a 36-point outing there at 5,700. And that's pretty significant value. Other guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7,000. He's only averaging 27.9 in his last five. It's not enough for me. He started off the season red hot, but his DFS value hasn't really caught up with that. Marcin Gortat is struggling for the season at 6,000. I don't want anything to do with him. Otto Porter put up 36 in the last game. So if Bradley Beal's out, Otto Porter at 5,500 becomes someone that we have to pay some attention to. And John Wall is now down at 9,200. It's too expensive for me. I don't think it's a great situation. Point guards going up against Milwaukee, not a great guy to have a look at. Michael Carter Williams at 7,000 is also a relatively, not risky, but one that I'm probably going to steer clear of. He put up 34 in the last game, but at 7,000, you want him to do a little bit more than that. I can see situations in which you would use him, but again, John Wall's a pretty good defender, and I don't really love him in that spot. Greg Monroe's been good this year, but he has dropped off a little bit. His average for the season is 37. He's averaging 34 in the last five, so a little bit of a drop-off there. At 8,200, I reckon you can probably do... I'm sure you can do better than Greg Monroe for tomorrow's slate of action. The Wizards are favored by 4 in that one, and it's a nice total of 201. Not too high, not too low, probably right in the sweet spot. The next game... on the cards is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Detroit Pistons. We're talking a low total here, 193.5. The Cavs are favored by 5 points. What does that mean for fantasy value? Stanley Johnson at 3,900, it's probably a tournament play only. He did have a 28-point outing in his last five, so he's got a little bit of form on the board, but he also put up 12 in the last one. And it is minimum salary, and you hope in a tournament maybe he starts to go off, but I'm not putting a huge amount of faith in him. I do like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,100. I think that he can be a decent guy. He gets a massive amount of minutes, and it just takes him to get hot to put up some numbers. Marcus Morris is struggling at the moment. Just can't get his shot to fall. He's still averaging 28, but at 6,100, you need him to do a bit more than that. And he's just not doing it at the moment. And he's really playing against the Cavs. Is that a great breakout opportunity? I don't think so. Reggie Jackson was terrible in the last game. 7,600 for him. Can you expect him to do better than that? I would think yes. I would expect him to do better than what he did last game. But at 7,600, is it usable? It can be in certain situations. You need him to go 37 or 38, and he's got a chance of doing that. So he's not a terrible play at that price. And Kevin Love at 7,800. He's dropped down. He was at 8,000 not long ago. So he's come down a little bit, and he makes an interesting play. Andre Drummond at 98. Don't think I really want to go with him here. 9,800 is a lot. Yes, he's been really good, and he's averaging 46.4 over the last five, but he actually needs to do better than that at that salary. And he did have a 70-point game in there, so he's had a couple of games where it's been less than that, and he puts up bulk rebound numbers, bulk point numbers, but if he's not helping in the steals and blocks, which sometimes he doesn't, then at 9,800, it's not... it's probably a waste of that money at that sort of price. LeBron James at 10,200. Yeah, look, he does have a history of playing pretty well against Detroit, but Detroit is defending really, really well, especially against opposition small forwards. Now, LeBron's a little bit of a different story, but I'm not sure that I want to spend $10,000 on LeBron in this one. He is averaging 50 points in his last five, so there is some rationale behind using him against the Pistons. But the way that they've been playing defense, it's been really, really good. Maybe that takes the edge off LeBron a little bit. Mo Williams is another guy we need to pay attention to. He's at 6,100. He's been playing pretty solidly, but I think 6,100 makes it almost 50-50 whether you want to go with him or not. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Miami Heat is the next game up. The Heat are favored by 9 points in this one, so they think it's going to be a pretty comfortable victory from the Heat. A total of 194.5, so a very low total. A couple of injuries we need to pay attention to. Well, not injuries, active statuses. Dwayne Wade is likely to come back. He was dealing with an issue with his son who was ill, so he's likely to be back in the lineup for this one. And Ricky Rubio is now listed as questionable, which, going by the way the Timberwolves run their injury report, it either means he's out for the season or he's going to play, because when he was probable, he missed two games in a row. So who knows what this means for Ricky Rubio. He did get some practice in, so maybe he is able to go. Obviously, if Ricky Rubio doesn't play, then Zach LaVine, who's priced at 5,900, becomes someone we can look at. But 5,900 is expensive. He put up 32 points in his last game, and at 5,900, that sort of just gives you value. And against a team with Miami who's putting up just massive, just ridiculous defensive numbers, I don't even know if I want to spend $6,000 on Zach LaVine against the Heat, even if he is starting. I think I'd probably go in a different direction. Carl Anthony Towns has been really good. I know that's not saying anything too insightful, but he's only priced at 6,800. I really like him at that sort of price. I think that he can be a decent guy to look at. And Nemanja Bjelica, he stunk. He was putrid in the last game, but he's at 4,400, and you'd have to think that he can sort of get back on track and put up value close to that number, so I'm okay with him. And I'm also okay with Justice Winslow at 3,700 in a tournament. He's been averaging 18 points, and that doesn't seem like much, but he can go out and put up 24, which has been his best score in the last few games. And at 3,700, 24 points is really, really valuable. It helps a lot. Dwayne Wade at 6,900, coming back after a game off, I don't mind it. He's got some value there. And Hassan Whiteside at 8,300, I think he's an okay guy to play. He's averaging 36 in his last five. The minutes can be a little bit questionable, and the Timberwolves are a really good defensive unit. So I'm not super confident in playing Hassan Whiteside. I'm definitely going to be avoiding a guy like Goran Dragic. Tyler Johnson at 4,000 is a guy you can look at in a tournament, and Andrew Wiggins at 7,000. Nah, it's not for me. He needs to do more than what he does most of the time for a $7,000 price tag. Chris Bosh has been really, really good lately, averaging 39.5, and at 8,200, you can definitely get some value out of Chris Bosh. Even though the Timberwolves are a pretty good defensive team, he's definitely got some value there. The Atlanta Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets. The Hawks are favored by 3.5 points. The total is 197.5. Christos just tweeted at me that his dog is watching the podcast. So shout out to Christos's dog, Mally. Thank you for watching. I'm sure that Mally is getting a ton of fantasy information out of this. The Hawks and the Nets, back to that. The Hawks are favored by 3.5, a total of 197.5. Kent Bazemore is out. Jeff Teague is out. Thabo Sefolosha is probable. Kyle Korver is probable. Now, both of those guys have been sitting back-to-backs lately due to their ankle rehab. If they're out, there's a real issue on the wing for the Hawks, and there's massive daily fantasy opportunity. What we know at the moment is that Dennis Schroeder is pretty much the most must-play of must-play guys. At 4,800, that is supreme value. He's probably going to be a 30-point lock, you would have to think. So you're looking at him. But what you want to look at is some of these other guys. With Bazemore out, someone's going to have to play on the wing, and it's probably going to be Thabo Sefolosha. But he might not play. He might be out. Kyle Korver might be out. Who's going to pick up the slack? I like Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday's at 3,500. We project him out as a pretty nice night against a Brooklyn team who is just disgusting against opposition shooting guards. They allow a stack more points than what most other teams do at that position. He has had a 13-point game in his last five. He's had a 19-point game this season. And if he puts up just a 19-point game this year, and that was in 29 minutes, then you love it at 3,500. I think that Justin Holiday is only a tournament play. But if you see that Korver's out, and if you see that Sefolosha's out, or one of those guys is out, his value even increases in a cash game scenario. We might even see Tim Hardaway play. That's how desperate things are getting on the wing for the Atlanta Hawks. We're also going to see more Shelvin Mack, and he's at 3,500, but he's going to be firmly placed behind Dennis Schroeder, so I don't think there's a lot to love there for him. I like Thad Young for the Nets at 5,800. He's been putting up really good numbers lately. He's averaging 32.5, and that is way more than what a $5,800 player should be averaging. And Brook Lopez at 8,000, one of the best-priced big men on the board. And 8,000 seems expensive, but the Hawks are not a good team defending big men in terms of fantasy points allowed. He put up 37 in his last game. He's averaging 36. He could be a 40-point guy here, and that's pretty lovely. If Korver plays, I think he's a decent chance at 4,800 to return value. And Paul Millsap at 8,300, he's just solid. He's very, very solid. And he's that 38-point guy that you know you're going to get 38 points around that sort of level. And if you've got a lot of other low-priced guys, so if you've got a Dennis Schroeder in your lineup or if you've got a Justin Holiday in your lineup, you can afford a solid 45-point guy in a cash game scenario and hope for these other guys to return more than 5 times value, which there's a big chance that guys like Schroeder go 6 or 7 times value. There's definitely that opportunity for both, or for him, definitely. Al Horford at 7,800. Not the best situation for him, but he's been awesome this season too. And Jarrett Jack at 6,400. I actually like Jarrett Jack a little bit in this one. Going up against Schroeder, Schroeder's not quite the defender that what Jeff Teague is, so Jack could have a little bit more ability to put up some bigger numbers. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's another tournament play, 3,500. He put up over 30 points in his last game. He's averaging almost 20 through his last 5. There's definitely some sneak value there. There's also the possibility that he goes up and puts 4. So there's probably a tournament-only risk for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. The next game, the Charlotte Hornets and the New York Knicks. This game is currently a pick 'em. The total is 196. So we've got a lot of low total games so far today. Talk about the Hawks having some issues on the wing. Well, the Hornets have the same problem. PJ Hairston, there's pretty much no chance he plays with that quad contusion. Jeremy Lamb is questionable with a shoulder issue. Marvin Williams is probable with a pectoral strain. So what do all those things add up to? Well, let's assume that PJ Hairston is out. So that means that I think Jeremy Lamb is going to get a bulk of minutes. So he would be someone that we'd be paying attention to at 4,600. He should get more run. But if Jeremy Lamb is out, if PJ Hairston's out, then it's all over Jeremy Lin. We need to look at that sort of situation. And Lin's at 4,600. He's the same price as Jeremy Lamb. I would be throwing him into a tournament as well. Definitely if Lamb and Hairston are both out. But even if Hairston's just out, there's a chance that he has a better game than Lamb, and he could be worth a look there. Now, if Marvin Williams is in a good spot here. He's up against the Knicks, and he can put up some pretty decent numbers at 5,200. If he is out, Cody Zeller becomes one of the most must-plays guys of the day to me. At 4,100, he's going to put up... He should be able to exceed 25, 26 points in those decent minutes. He's a good fantasy producer per minute, Cody Zeller, if Marvin Williams happens to miss. If you want to take a risk on someone, Robin Lopez has been really struggling of late, but the Hornets aren't a big team. He might be able to see some extended minutes here. At 4,500, he's worth a look in a lot of situations. Jerian Grant is a bit of a punt play at 3,800, I think. Really depends on the way Derek Fisher wants to run the rotation. If he gives him 26 minutes, then he's definitely worth a look. You don't know that in advance, obviously. Kristaps Porzingis, 5,400. Struggled a little bit against Anthony Davis in the last game. He's been solid. He's an okay daily fantasy play, but not the greatest. And if you think Al Jefferson can back up what he did in the last game against the Trailblazers, at 6,800, it's a bargain. I don't think that he necessarily can, but at least he showed us that he can still do it. Kemba Walker at 7,000 is probably a bit expensive for me. 7,200 for Nick Batum. He's been flying of late. I'd be happy running him out there again, putting up some really, really big numbers. And I think he's a decent chance to put up some nice results. And Carmelo Anthony at 9,600. If you've got a few other low-priced guys around him, I think it's okay. He should be a solid 40-point guy, and he does love playing against Charlotte. You can't discount that fact. Whenever he plays Charlotte, he seems to put up pretty good value. So I do like him here, even though you're spending close to $10,000 on him. Don't go with Aaron Aflalo. Denver and New Orleans, the Pelicans. Can they get their second victory of the season? They are favored by 6. The total is 206.5 points. So what does that mean? There's a lot of injuries we need to have a look at here. On the Nuggets side of things, Will Barton is probably with a shoulder contusion. Kenneth Faried is questionable with a back issue again. Jameer Nelson is probable with a back issue. Darrell Arthur is questionable. He is sick. Joffrey Lavernier is out. So there's a lot of variables on the Nuggets. One guy who's not sick, who's not questionable, is not probable, Emmanuel Mudiay. His price dropped under 6,000, and this is a perfect time to go at him here. Against the Pelicans team, who's had really poor backcourt defense, I really like him in this spot. If Fareed is out, and Lavernier is already out, Nikola Jokic is someone at minimum salary that we can have a look at in a tournament. And you might go, that's crap, he hasn't done much. But in his last game, he played 18 minutes, he put up 17 fantasy points. In his last five games, he's put up 15.5 points in 14 minutes. If he gets 25 minutes, does he get 23 fantasy points? Everything seems to be leaning towards that. He is a very high points per minute sort of player. And at 3,500, if we know these other guys are out, I'm all over Nikola Jokic. 4,400 for JJ Hickson. He's probably going to start. And again, it depends on what the situation with Fareed is. He might be worth a look, as much as I dislike him as a player. And 5,000 for Will Barton seems like pretty decent value. He's been putting up some nice numbers, assuming he plays. You have to assume that, obviously. Anthony Davis at 10,900. He could really feast in this game. So I do like him as a high-priced guy. And Eric Gordon at 6,000 has been putting up some really nice numbers. Apart from a stinker in the last game, I like him to bounce back. Now, guys like Jrue Holiday for the Pelicans, who is... you think he's going to play, but it is the first game of a back-to-back, so he's probably going to miss one of these games. If he misses, Ish Smith at 5,400 is someone that you can definitely have a look at. If Holiday plays, then Smith and Holiday and Tony Douglas are guys that you don't want anything to do with, really. Danilo Gallinari, the Nuggets' best player, obviously, at 6,600. I don't think I'll be investing in him at that price. The last game of the night is the Raptors and the Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 8.5, but I think the Raptors are a sneaky chance here to get the victory and knock off Warriors for the first time. A big total of 207.5, and one of the reasons why I think the Raptors are a big chance here is that Klay Thompson's dealing with his back issue, and Draymond Green is sick, so he missed practice with an illness. If both of those guys are out, there's a huge chance the Raptors get the victory here. I like Corey Joseph at 4,300. I think he's got significant value. Klay Thompson, I'm just avoiding him until I know that he's away from his, or he's all out of action with this, or he's out of the woods with his back problem. Andre Iguodala's been putting up very, very solid numbers. 25.5 points over the last five games. At 4,700, he has value in most sort of formats. Kyle Lowry at 8,600. He's got to go up against the Warriors' defense, but they do allow some points to point guard. So he's not a bad guy to look at, although that price is really expensive. I'd like him if he was more at 8,000. Steph Curry, 11,000 now. It's getting a little bit high. We know what he can do, but he's not playing against a terrible defense. The Raptors are defending point guards pretty well. Don't think that I want to spend 11,000 on Steph Curry in this one. And DeMar DeRozan at 7,800, it's not a great option. He's one of the better high-priced shooting guards on the board, but it doesn't mean that it's a great play for him going in this matchup. As much as the Warriors are yielding a lot of points to opposition shooting guards, I just don't know at 7,800 if DeMar DeRozan is the right guy to play. All right, that is it for the Daily Fantasy preview of the games. Let's have a look at my value plays at each position. I know someone just tweeted at me who's my top value point guard, and it is Dennis Schroeder. And the way I do this, if you're a new viewer, is at each position I give three picks. A guy priced under 5,000, a guy priced a mid-range guy between 5,000 and 7,500, and then a higher price guy, 7,500 and over player. So at point guard, Dennis Schroeder at 4,800 is the best cheap guy on the board. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,900 and Reggie Jackson at 76. At shooting guard, Justin Holiday, minimum salary. A lot of that depends on what happens with Thabo Sefolosha, Kyle Korver. But even if both those guys play, Holiday is probably going to get increased minutes with Bazemore out and with Teague out. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,100. And DeMar DeRozan at 78. As I mentioned before, not many good high-priced shooting guards on the board. He's the best of the bunch, but it's still an avoid situation. Small forward Stanley Johnson, 3,900. He's been a bit up and down, and it's probably only a tournament play. Chris Middleton, 5,700, and Carmelo Anthony at 9,600. Power forwards, Chris Humphries at 4,000. Red hot in the last game. Can you continue that? Probably not, but at 4,000, it's worth a look. Thad Young at 5,800 has been awesome, and Paul Millsap at 8,300. And at center, Nikola Jokic at 3,500, Karl Anthony Towns at 6,800, and Brook Lopez rounds it out at $8,000. that is it for today's podcast, guys. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball, and you can become a sponsor of the podcast just by leaving a review on iTunes. So please do that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. It gives you an opportunity to watch the show visually and to watch it live as it happens and chime in with tweets and questions and all that sort of fun stuff. So make sure you are watching along on YouTube as well. Going to be hitting a pretty significant milestone in the next couple of days, so I am looking forward to that and telling you what that milestone is. It's pretty exciting when we do that. It'll probably happen on the weekend, maybe at the end of this week. So stay tuned for that, because I'll be pretty pumped when it does happen. Follow along things on basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, and if you're listening to this on the Hardwood Paroxysm Network, make sure you're checking out the other podcasts as well. Quo Vadimus is it's a very, very informative podcast with Seth Partnow, who's been on this show, and Jared Dubin, who break down the Thursday night games. There's some good stuff there. Trying to think of the name of it. R-Squared podcast. Nate Duncan's on the last episode. Some good stuff on there as well. Wolves Wired, Heat Check, some good team-specific podcasts on Hardwood Paroxysm as well. That's enough spruiking for them. That's it. I'm done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.